Welcome to Let's Talk Death, conversations to inform and inspire. Let's Talk Death is being brought to you by Heal Grief, a nonprofit providing the tools and resources to support one's journey with grief. We seek to empower individuals to achieve a healthy post-bereavement growth. Everything we do is inspired by our core belief that no one should ever grieve alone. Let's Talk Death is a series of conversations with some amazing people from various fields. Our goal through these conversations is to normalize, educate, and demystify the taboo around death, dying, and the journey of grief. Hello, welcome to this episode of Let's Talk Death. I'm Fran Solomon.
And I'm Andy McNeil.
And we're thrilled to be your host for these conversations.
Our guest today is Julie Ryan. Julie is an inventor, entrepreneur, and author. She has been a practicing psychic and medical intuitive for more than 25 years. Julie has authored several books, Angelic Attendance, What Really Happens As We Transition From This Life Into the Next, Angel Messages for Kids, and Angel Messages for Dogs. She is a podcast host for Ask Julie Ryan with listeners from all over the world. Julie, we are delighted to have you as a guest on our show.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
Of course. So, Julie, before we get into your work, may I ask, did you have a death loss that shaped your interest for your career path and the focus on your grief work?
Yes and no. I'm a businesswoman and an inventor, as Andy mentioned. And so I tell people I'm a businesswoman who learned how to do woo-woo, and I'm a buffet of psychicness. I'm an inventor of surgical devices sold throughout the world and was in the medical device industry for over 30 years as an inventor and manufacturer and all kinds of different roles. And so that's what really got me interested into the what I call woo-woo space was energetic healing and using that as a complement to Western and Eastern medicine as we know it. When I was on that path, and I started that about 30 years ago, in 2002, my mother died. And I witnessed what I now have come to call the 12 phases of transition as she was dying. And that story is in my book, Angelic Attendance. And I saw this sequence of events that included angels and deceased loved ones and the spirits of deceased pets transpire. And I kept thinking, oh my gosh, am I having a midlife crisis? You know, am I having a hot flash? Am I losing my mind? What is going on? And since that time, I've seen it with countless families. And interestingly enough, what I talk about in the 12 phases of transition has been corroborated and validated with university-based research by a hospice director in Buffalo called Chris Kerr. He's an MD, PhD. You know Chris.
We know Chris, yes.
I tease him. I say he's a doctor. You know, he's an MD and a PhD. And he's extra cool because he went to my alma mater, the Ohio State University.
So he's been on our show. He's been on our show.
Yeah. So his book and my book are the yin and the yang of what happens as we're dying, because my book's the spiritual side of the equation. His book is the research and medical side of the equation. And we're talking about the same thing. And so I tease him and I tell him all the time that I love it when science catches up with woo-woo. So that was really the catalyst for me to begin when I saw that with my mother. And then it took several years till I frankly had the golden ovary courage. You know, guys have brass balls, Andy, girls have golden ovaries. I had to wait till I had enough courage to be able to really put myself out there, because I'm a businesswoman and I thought people are just going to think I'm nuts, but I did. And it's been so well received and brings so much comfort to people either who are in the midst of helping a loved one pass or have just lost a loved one. It brings tremendous comfort.
That's amazing. So your work is not only after someone has died, it's in the dying process and their visions?
Correct. And there's lots of information, you know, you swim in this space. There's lots of information about afterlife, the afterlife, mm-hmm. and the phases of grieving and near-death experiences. But Chris Kerr's book, Death is But a Dream, and my book, Angelic Attendance, are really the only two that I know of that talk about what's happening actually as somebody is dying. And I've found there are no coincidences in life ever, but in particular in this year with the COVID situation, so many people have been unable to be with their, especially elderly loved ones, as they're dying. And I talk to a lot of them as private clients, and they call into my show, and they're really suffering because they are under the impression that their loved one died alone. And I'm here to tell them and everybody else listening, nobody dies alone. We're all surrounded by angels and our deceased loved ones and the spirits of deceased pets. And it really adds a glorious component to a heart-wrenching situation. And I've had many, many people, especially in this past year, say, oh my gosh, the comfort that I got from reading your book because I couldn't be with my loved one. Or what happens oftentimes is somebody's sitting with grandma while she's dying and they get up to get a cup of coffee and they're out of the room for 2 minutes and grandma passes while they're gone. And then they are riddled with guilt because they weren't there. Well, you know, grandma wasn't alone. Grandma decided when she wanted to go and who was with her and what the circumstances are.
So. Yeah, you know, I've always said that there are the two most spiritual things that one can experience is birth and death. Very spiritual in both entering and leaving this world.
And they're both a form of birth.
Yes.
Because you're birthing into the non-physical, birthing into the spirit, totally spiritual when we die, and then birthing into human form. So,
yeah.
You know, part of my career was with hospice. And in my work with hospice, we saw, of course, many people with many visions and experiences at the end of their life. And we also saw people who would not die until their family was not in the room. That was very, very common for people. And I used to say to people, they died without you in the room. Your struggle is that you weren't in there with them when they died. And that's not their struggle. It's yours.
Good way to put it. I just, as I mentioned before we came on air, I just returned yesterday from a funeral out of town. And one of my best friends, we've been friends since we were 10. That's a, you know, long time friends. Her mom passed very unexpectedly at 92. And she, for the last couple of months, she's been in an assisted living facility. And she kept telling my friend Lisa, I'm going to go live with my mom. Well, her mom had been dead for 40 years. And Lisa kept saying it just must be dementia. She keeps telling me she's going to go live with her mom because she's discombobulated because she's not in her own home. And I said, well, maybe she's seeing her mom. And her mom's spirit is telling her, we're going to be together soon. Just come whenever you're ready. So when she passed, Lisa called me that afternoon and she said, my mom was telling me the truth. She was going to go live with her mom. And I just thought that was so heartwarming, something that I've just been through this week with the death of my friend's mother.
Yeah. Julie, let me ask you a question. So often in our virtual support groups, we hear individuals talk about signs, birds or butterflies. Is that part of your work discussion, beliefs that there are signs that come to us?
Oh, absolutely. And I communicate with the deceased every day, especially during the work week with clients, usually clients who've lost a loved one. And the first question is always, how are they doing? Are they okay? I said, they're fabulous. They're in heaven. It's pure bliss. Doesn't get any better than where they are. But the signs that we get are so fun. It's not, people think, well, that's Granny because she's a red cardinal now. No, Granny sends the red cardinals. Granny sends the hummingbird. Granny sends the butterfly, things like that. And then we'll get really really fun things like Granny wants you to eat peanut butter. Granny is telling me for you to eat peanut butter, and that person will squeal and they'll say, oh my gosh, I eat peanut butter every day. It's my favorite food. Or I'm trying to think, there was one recently where it was a gal who had lost both parents in a very short period of time, within a couple of months of each other. And I want to say she lived in Boston. And so we were having a chat with her parents telepathically. And because, you know, I'm a buffet of psychicness, so we talk to spirits all the time. And she was concerned about where they wanted their ashes to be spread. And they said Yosemite. And I thought, Yosemite, she lives in Boston. These people died in Boston. But I don't edit anything. I just say what I get. And I said, they want their ashes spread in Yosemite. And she squealed and she said, well, that's where they were married. I said, well, there you go. So all the time we'll get comments from the deceased that will be some kind of, some mediums will call that evidential mediumship, but the spirit will always give us information that the person will understand, because then that just gives credibility to the fact that we're really conversing with grandma's spirit.
Yeah, it's funny. Every time I get a chill, I say that's my father brushing against me.
That's right. That's validation from spirit. When you get a chill or goosebumps or something like that, a lot of people get that. That's just, you're just receiving information from spirit kinesthetically.
Let's Talk Death is being brought to you by Heal Grief, a 501c3. As a nonprofit, we are reliant on the kind generosity of our donors. If you are inspired by our mission, we ask you to go to healgrief.org/donations to help us continue our great work. No gift is too small.
Your gift, did it just appear? Did you have these visions and started questioning them? I'm curious about how your gift was developed.
I learned how to do it. I'm not one of those psychics who's had dead people chasing her since childhood, or if I did, I didn't know it, let alone what I would have done with that information. No, I studied it for 6 years in a formalized curriculum that was developed by a former NASA physicist who took very complex quantum physics principles and distilled them into layman terms. So somebody who wasn't scientific, that would be me, could understand it and paid the equivalent of what I would have paid to get a doctorate or an MD. And I teach it to people around the world now, but fast forward 30 plus years, and I do it in 4 Saturdays in a row, a couple of hours each Saturday, and they learn how to do everything I do. Communicate with spirit, tell how close to death somebody is, be able to scan people energetically. I'm like a human MRI. I can see broken bones, torn ligaments, viral infections, cancer, stuff like that. I facilitate energetic healings that oftentimes will show up in the scans when they go back to the doctor, and they'll see a new kidney or a new liver or a new whatever, do past life stuff, all of that. And so I teach that to people all around the world. And I believe we've had students from 10 countries. And the only prerequisite is they have to speak English, because that's the only language I speak. But everybody has the ability. Everybody comes in with intuitive abilities. It's just a matter of developing and enhancing it.
That's amazing. And do you find you have to turn it off?
I turn my abilities on and off at will. I don't walk around scanning people. Number one, I think it's a HIPAA violation from a medical standpoint. You know, imagine being in a crowd of people and saying, okay, that one's got a strep throat. That one's got a cold. That one's got whatever. It's instant. It's a lot of teaching methodologies are you have to meditate under crystals in a yurt for a half an hour before any of this stuff works. No, you turn it on and off. That's what I teach. It takes a nanosecond. And I don't scan anybody without their permission. If, for instance, on my show last night, my first 4 callers in a row wanted me to scan somebody else. And so I always ask that person's permission telepathically. And most of the time I'll get a yes, but oftentimes as well, usually with little kids, I'll get a no. And if I get a no, I can scan them, but I won't, because I believe it's a violation of their privacy. And I equate that to, if somebody has pneumonia and you're talking with them, they're going to let you know how they feel. That's going to be their prerogative. But you're not going to look at their chest x-ray without their permission. So that's how I equate that.
Let's talk about your books.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Go into it.
Well, angelic attendance is what happens as we're dying. And these 12 phases of transition, there are illustrations on my website, which is AskJulieRyan.com. All we have to do, it comes in so handy when someone has a loved one who's dying, because as you both know, and especially you, Andy, being in the industry for so long, people live out of town. They're taking time off work. They're getting on planes. They're doing whatever to be there with the person and the family as either somebody is dying or for the funeral or celebration of life. So all we have to do is just say, what phase is grandma in? And you're going to get a number. It's going to come in within a second. That's going to be spirit communicating with us. And you'll get phase 7, phase 6, phase 12. Phase 12 is they're being carried to heaven with angels, by angels. So it's very helpful to the family to know how quickly the person is progressing. And everybody goes through the 12 phases of transition, whether they do it instantly, like in the case of a homicide or suicide, with an instant death, or whether it's prolonged over days, weeks, months, even years. Everybody goes through these 12 phases of transition. And it's important to remember that time doesn't exist in the spirit world. So our concept of time is a human creation, which when we know that, then it makes more sense that everybody goes through these phases. So angelic attendance is about that. And it's about what happens. And then there are stories of families with whom I've worked over the years that are really heartwarming and fun and funny and just so comforting to people.
So, question about the 12 transitions. So yeah. What about individuals that share stories of coming back into mm-hmm. their body? Mm-hmm. So can you share a little bit about that and how does that happen?
Well, they'll go through the 12 phases of transition. They'll be carried to heaven by angels, flown to heaven. They have an escort. It's like a Secret Service detail. You know, they have an escort that takes them to heaven. These big old angels, as I picture them. But I'm a Catholic schoolgirl. So that's how I was taught angels look. Somebody in a different culture may see angel energy as a blob of purple energy. And so we all process through our own frame of reference. So what happens is they're carried to heaven and then their spirit decides that they want to come back and experience more of life in the human form. So that's part of the equation. I do see people too that will move around in the phases. I'm working with a gentleman now. His wife's a dear friend of mine, and he's been in phase 9. He's gone back to phase 4. He went back to phase 7 yesterday. He's back to phase 9 this morning. It's like he's kind of deciding, okay, when do I want to go? That's angelic attendance. This is what it looks like. And then I have two children's books, Angel Messages for Dogs and Angel Messages for Kids. And they have darling illustrations in them. They're really colorful and they explain what happens when somebody dies and how the spirit and the body separate. And then there's fun stuff in there too, like with the dogs, you know, if you learn to roll over and shake, you'll get treats and things like that. And these were written as a response, and Angel Messages for Cats will be out the end of the year because I've caught so much grief from the cat lovers that I didn't have a cat version. So that's coming. It actually just went to the illustrator last week.
I was going to ask you that question.
About the cats. I don't know what's next, you know, maybe birds or parrots or something. But I had so many moms over the years say, can you please come up with a way that I can explain to my child, number one, how does my child see spirits in their room? Maybe it's a dead grandparent that the child never met, and they know information about this person who's died that there's no way they could know because they don't even read yet, and they hadn't heard these stories. Also, how do I explain that my child knows information about past lives and information that we can corroborate with historical documents online? Again, this kid can't read yet. And then lastly, and most commonly, how do we explain to little John Johnny, that grandma's passed and that her spirit and her body are, you know, she's in heaven now. Because we'll say, well, grandma's in heaven now. And Johnny will say, no, she's not. She's sleeping in that box up there at the front of the room. So how do we explain that? So that's what we've done with a really sweet book that has very colorful illustrations. The stories I hear from parents and grandparents who have these books and have read them to their kids in their lives is just makes me weepy sometimes. The fabulous stories, even to the point of two-year-olds that needed a book to keep at home that they read every night before they go to bed. And then they also have one in their diaper bag because they want to read it in the car. And so fun things like that.
Very sweet, very rewarding. So, Julie, we're coming up on our time right now. And for those of us who are listening to this episode that would like to connect with your work, how might they do that?
Everything's at AskJulieRyan.com. The call-in number to my show, which is every Thursday night for a couple of hours, which is a blast. People call from all over the world and ask all kinds of questions. And then my book links are there and you can ask a question. It may be chosen. And I write a blog every week and I answer somebody's question. And anybody listening, if you'd like a free copy of my books, just go to AskJulieRyan.com, click on the Ask Julie button and mention Fran's name or Andy's name or say that you heard us chatting on Fran and Andy's show. And then we'll send you a digital and an audiobook version just as a gift, as a thank you for listening. And I hope that it brings comfort and joy to you, especially if you've lost a loved one. And for those of you that haven't lost a loved one yet, it helps to read it ahead of time because it helps get through that situation that all of us are going to face, helps us get through it.
Thank you so much. That's very kind. Really appreciate you offering that for our listeners. Julie, we want to thank you truly for being a guest here at Let's Talk Death and for sharing your story and your great work and your books and your journey with it.
Oh, my privilege. Thanks for having me.
If you would like to learn more about Heal Grief, visit us at healgrief.org to find other conversations or to inquire about becoming a guest speaker. Visit us at healgrief.org/Let's Talk Death. And if you feel inspired to support us, remember, no gift is too small. Visit us at healgrief.org/donations, or you can donate right through our homepage. Well, that's it until next time on Let's Talk Death, where we normalize, educate, and demystify the taboo around death, dying, and the journey of grief.